Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Mexicali and Imperial Valley. And we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. I'm your host, Maria Wyatt, and my co-host is Scott Dudley. And just a reminder about our email address, it is wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us.
It only took us like a month to be able to say that without messing it up. So give us a break. Email us.
Yes.
We're dying to hear from you.
Eventually, we'll have a Twitter, and we'll have, you know, what is it?
Well, social media.
Hashtag Let's Talk About It. I don't know.
Like us on Facebook. You know,
but at this point, we just have email.
We'll jump all in at some point. Media relations. We'll get there. We're joined today by Dr. Scott McClure, and the topic is gender responsive treatment. One size does not fit all, at least in terms of boys and girls.
That's right.
I was going to have the executive producer hook up. Don't you know that it's different for girls by, like, Joe Jackson, remember?
Oh.
Speaking of the 70s.
It seems like people have always recognized there are differences. They just didn't treat it that way.
Well, because ultimately things are designed for your defaults.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the defaults are guys.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about that the first time.
Yeah. Fortunately, it seems like we're moving beyond that, and that's a good thing because, you know, in reality, like, society needs change.
Well, if it doesn't work. I mean, ultimately, if you put regular gas in a diesel mm-hmm. car, you're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
You need to adapt to what's effective. Otherwise, you end up wasting taxpayer money, and that's not a good thing.
Absolutely, and like what you find too is a lot of the treatment styles are the same, and they are effective. It's just acknowledging these other differences are really important. Those make things even work better. So you're still going to do your cognitive behavioral therapies, and we're talking about Lisa Nadjovitz. I mean, really, seeking safety is the CBT model.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nonetheless, yet. And it's not just based for female offenders either or female clients. Yet it does work really well because of that safety component. It creates that sense of safety of not having to relive that traumatic experience and not having to feel jeopardized.
You know, not all of us have been in the therapy room. When we say safety, like what do we mean in terms of making it gender responsive, in terms of making it something where people who are suffering from mental health problems, mm-hmm. you know, go, wow, okay. What constitutes that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's acknowledged is that female clients that are in need of, you know, gender-responsive services that have a trauma background, it's really important that the actual environment, the treatment environment, has a safe feel to it. And, I mean, that goes all the way down to what does the place even look like inside? Is it aesthetically pleasing? Is it a calm, relaxing environment? Does it say to the person, you're in this strict, rigid white medical room, or to say you're in a warm, comfortable place where you can concentrate on your problems? I mean, it goes down to even pieces like that. I mean, literally, if you went to a female prison that is enmeshed in gender responsive treatment and they're allowed to do this, they're going to have pictures on the walls. They're going to have paintings of their kids. They're going to have handprints and stuff that creates this even just the, you know, physical appearance of safety. But that, I mean, that's just a teeny piece of it, by the way. But do your staff members, does the person work in the front desk, does the person, the clinician, does their boss, does the administration, do they understand that there are differences between males and females, and do they know how to create a safe environment? Are groups run co-ed, or are groups run with female-specific mm-hmm. groups? So I'm just going to say, one of the things they're going to say, if you're dealing with sexual abuse and trauma, they're probably going to argue in favor of it's going to be more helpful for someone to feel safe if it's an all-female group at first with a female facilitator.
Yeah.
And then maybe they graduate later into a co-ed group or a different environment. But it really is all-encompassing. Are the professionals behaving in a way that allows the person
because
to feel
stuff,
safe?
Because stuff's
important.
Triggering,
that's
it's
important.
Distracting.
That's right.
Yeah. That's important, is that the staff be aware of there are differences.
Absolutely.
And each person, you come, when somebody walks in through the door and seeking help, seeking for their trauma, they want to make sure that, you know, they will be taken care of.
Absolutely.
You know,
our previous guest, Dr. Ebony Williams, talked about microaggressions in terms of the LGBT community. I'm pretty sure that whole microaggression thing probably plays out in women's issues all the time.
Oh, sure.
Where you just inadvertently frame things and say things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That are hurtful or not safe.
Yeah, I mean, people too. I mean, a facilitator of a group might be saying, say I'm a male facilitator of a group, and what if I'm accidentally insensitive? What if I'm talking about relationships in a way that triggers someone's traumatic response? You know, what if I'm discounting a female's need to feel safer in this world?
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 radio. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.